Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. This morning on the program, I want to talk about a bad trade, a bad bargain. You know, a lot of people want to go out and trade for things, and they want to bargain for things, and that's good. They want to make exchanges. But this morning, I want to talk about something that is a very bad deal, and that is when you trade the truth for lies. I'm glad that you're with us, and I hope that this study will be helpful. A lot of people are bargaining today. They're trading and they're exchanging. But it's not what you think. It is trading the truth for lies. It was happening in Bible times, and it happens today. This morning on the program, I want to talk about the value of truth and having truth in our life and not mold our life by the lies of the world around us. And so I want to go back and begin with Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, when the Apostle Paul is talking about the Gentile world that he is in and the sinful nature of that world. And Paul writes in Romans 1, 24 and 25, "Wherefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." The sinful world of Paul's day exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That was a bad trade. That was a bad bargain. That was a bad exchange. And it led them to all kinds of sinful things. In that same passage of Romans 1, Paul talks about their idolatry, their homosexuality, and other grievous sins that they committed. Why? Because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They refused to have God in their knowledge. They didn't want that truth. And so God gave them up into this sinful life. God's not going to force you to believe the truth. He's not going to force you to have him in your life. And if you want to exchange the truth of God for a lie, he's going to let you do that. But you'll reap the sinful consequences of it. And so, when Paul was discussing this sinful world of his day, he talks about people who willfully chose to believe a lie instead of the truth. This is a very bad trade. It was for them. It led them into sin, and it's a bad trade for us today. The Apostle Paul also wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, "And with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God sends them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." You'll notice some of the same elements are present here in 2 Thessalonians that are found in Romans 1. Excuse me. There are those who have the truth, but they don't want it. They want a lie. We find the same thing in 2 Thessalonians. There is the matter of God giving them up. He'll let them do that. We have the same thing in 2 Thessalonians where God sends them a working of error. If that's what they want, that's what he's going to give them. Number three, we find that this bad exchange led to uncleanness, and Paul brings up unrighteousness in 2 Thessalonians. So the same basic idea is going on here. And so there are people who would rather follow a lie into sin than follow truth into righteousness. The sober fact of the matter, friends, is that many people in Paul's day and even today just don't want the truth of God. They would rather believe a lie. So I ask you this question: what is your attitude toward truth? And will you make the same bad trade today that many people made in Paul's day? Let me encourage you not to do that. We have the truth available to us in the New Testament, the law of Christ, the law that we're under today. Let me encourage you to follow truth and not lies. When Jesus was on trial before Pilate in John chapter 18 and verse 38, Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" This is a great question, and I want us to consider the answer from God's Word, as we're going to see in just a minute some characteristics of God's truth. So, truth, what is it? Well, before we look at some of the characteristics of truth in the New Testament, I just want to make the point that truth is very broad. We're not simply talking about religious truth. Truth is anything that is real or genuine or factual. 2 + 2 = 4, that is truth. Truth is not limited to Bible truth. We're going to focus on that today. But there are many truths, things that are real and genuine and factual. There are mathematical truths. There are scientific truths. There are historical truths. George Washington was our first president. That's a historical truth. Why? Because it's real, genuine, factual, meets the facts. And so when we talk about truth, we talk about what is real, genuine, and factual. We don't live on a flat earth, for example. We live on an earth that is a globe shape, a ball shape, a circular orb shape, not a perfect circle, of course. How do we know that? Well, it's what's real. It's what's genuine. It's what's factual. We have pictures from space that show the shape of our earth. It's not a flat pancake. And yet there are people today that apparently are still members of the Flat Earth Society, I am told. Despite the truth of that matter, they're going to believe a lie. And so many people don't want what is real, genuine, and factual in their life. And when it comes to the truth of the gospel, Ephesians 1:13, Colossians 1:5, let me encourage us all today to have that in our life. I don't know why many people don't want the truth. I don't know why they would rather follow lies. I suspect one cause might be that they want to continue living their comfortable lifestyle. They've got sin in their life and they don't want to make any changes. But friends, it's better to make the change now than to be that way when the Lord comes again and we're in an unsaved state. Like Eve of long ago in Genesis 3:4, she believed the lie of the devil. She exchanged the truth for a lie. So many people do that even to this day. They believe the lies of the devil and the false deceits and ideas of man, and they willfully make that choice, and it leads them into more and more sin. I know of people who actually come to the truth, but later they leave the truth for teachings that are not true. Why? I don't know all of the reasons. Maybe these lies are more attractive than truth. I think about some early Christians in the days of Paul that had started on their good life of serving Christ, but they were hindered from obeying the truth. Galatians 5, verse 7, these Christians in the churches of Galatia were following a false doctrine that tried to combine elements of Judaism with Christianity in order to be saved. And Paul said, there are people out there preaching another gospel, and you're going after that. And who hindered you from the truth? You were running well. Who hindered you? And so even people who come to the truth can leave it. So let's talk about trading truth for lies. Have you ever wondered why so many people want to trade the truth of God's Word for lies in their life? Why do so many people want to make such a bad bargain, such a bad exchange, such a bad trade? Well, I want to talk this morning about some characteristics of truth, and we will probably begin to answer the question why people do that kind of thing. When we understand the nature of truth, we will understand why people don't want it in their lives. First of all, the first characteristic of truth is that it is objective, meaning outside of us. It's from God. It's not subjective. It's not from within ourselves. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17, speaking of God's word, "Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. And the Holy Spirit was sent to guide the apostles into all the truth, John 16, 13 through 15. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, 1 John 5, 7. And so when the apostles preached, and that was recorded, those are the very truthful words of the Spirit of truth, and it's recorded in the message of the gospel, and that's outside of us. It's objective. It doesn't come from within. I would suspect that that's why many people trade the truth for lies, because they want what's subjective. They want what's on the inside. A second characteristic of truth that is a correlation to the first, and that is because it's objective. Number two, it's fixed. It's not relative. It's not always changing. God's word abides forever, 1 Peter 1:25. And we are to contend earnestly for the faith, which is the New Testament gospel, once for all delivered to the saints. Revelation 22:18 through 21, John warns at the end of that great book that we are not to add to or take from the words that are in that book. And so truth is fixed. It's not relative. It's not always moving around and changing. And so people want a subjective leading from within. They also want a relative, constantly changing leading, because they want to change with society. As society changes their opinions about how to think and live, they want so-called truth to change with that. And we see it in our society today when we have the transgender ideology. People are trying to change truth and reality and what is factual. They want to bend it and mold it and make it to the opinions of society. And it's hurting people. It's literally hurting people who are being abused under this lie, this false ideology that you can change your gender when you really cannot. All that happens is people mutilate their bodies, but their gender stays the same. And there have been so many studies done now in the past 10 years in Europe, primarily, where they started this before we did, that the people that have undergone those kinds of things, the hormone blockers, the hormone injections, the mutilation of the body, there's a high suicide rate among them. They realize later, oh, I'm actually still the same. I'm a male, I'm a female, nothing's been changed genetically. I'm still who I am, and all of these other things have completely messed up my mind and body. And so what's happening is people are trying to mold and make and change truth to match what society wants. Number three, truth is narrow. It's not broad. It does not include all kinds of man-made ideas. Jesus said that there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. Luke 13, 24, we're to strive to enter in by that narrow way. People don't like to be confined. They don't like to be restricted. They don't like to be hemmed in with the truths of God's word. They want to be so broad-minded that they can think and act any way they want. And so they exchange the truth for a lie. Another characteristic of truth is that it is exclusive. It's focused on Jesus only. It's not pluralistic. The truth of God's word does not include all world religions are the way to heaven. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Now, anybody can make those kinds of claims, but Jesus proved it. He proved it with his miracles, the greatest of which is the resurrection from the dead. And so we can believe him when he makes such a claim that I am this only way to God. Peter and John recognized that Jesus is the only way when they were preaching in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There is no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. And they were talking about Jesus Christ. But that is a big no-no today. In our society today, you need to be pluralistic. Everything is fine. All religions are fine. Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Shintoism, Confucianism, Baha'i, and many, many other kinds of religions. And so that's not only the American way, it's the world way, this pluralism. And so many people don't want the truth of God's word because it's exclusive and narrow. We're hearing so much today about being inclusive. And what's happening is we are including sinful lifestyles, immoral lifestyles, unethical lifestyles. And so inclusion is what is promoted today, whereas the New Testament gospel has elements of exclusion to it. And people don't like that. But we've got to get back to the truth of God's word. And a lot of it has a foundational principle. Is the Bible actually the truth and the word of God? That's the subject of another lesson. But a lot of it boils down to that. So in our society, when I was young, there were still a lot of people that were grounded on the Bible, but we've gotten away from that so much now that we don't want these characteristics of truth in our life. When someone tried to preach another gospel, Galatians 1, 6 through 9, Paul said, "Let them be accursed." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, "There are some who are trying to preach another Jesus." And several verses later, but in the same chapter, he says that these are deceitful messengers and apostles, and they're leading people astray, people that are preaching another Jesus. So here's your pluralism and being inclusive. And so he calls them in verse 13, false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing that his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They want to make it look like they're teaching the truth, but it's actually another Jesus. So Paul warns people about that. A fifth characteristic of truth is that it is restraining. It does not allow all kinds of immoral behavior. And so people today, they don't want the truth. They trade it for a lie because they want to keep living in their immoral lifestyles. Paul, for example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, talking about the sins of the Corinthians before they were baptized, he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men," which is homosexuality, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed." There's your baptism. "You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." You can't live this way. And yet you look at that list again, the fornicators and the idolaters and the adulterers and the homosexuals and thieves and covetousness and so forth, you find that all kinds of people are living like that today. You find a similar list in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21. What's happening is people want to live the way they want to live. But the truth of God's word is restraining. It says that we are to get out of these lifestyles. In Galatians 5:19, Paul says when we live this way, we actually are engaged in the works of the flesh. And he says the works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19, are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, division, parties, envies, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so, friends, we cannot engage in these kinds of things, and the truth of God's word tells us that. It's restraining. But we live in a culture of lack of restraints. I don't want to be lawful. I don't want to be law-abiding with regard to man's law, and I certainly don't want to be law-abiding with regard to Christ's law. I just want to live any way I want. So what they do is they just go around believing lies that man tells them that says you can live any way you want. That's what's going on today, but I would encourage you not to go down that path. It leads to a very dark path for you and those around you. Another sixth characteristic of the truth is that it is condemning. Truth does not condone all behavior in life that mankind wants to have in their life, when in fact it actually condemns behavior. We just looked at some of that a minute ago. And so people don't want to come to the truth because the truth condemns things that are going on in their life that is sinful. I think about John chapter 3. John, in John chapter 1, he's described as the light of the world that comes into the world, the light of truth. But a lot of people don't want the light. It's kind of like when you go in a room that it's full of a bunch of roaches and you turn the light on, they scatter, they run, they want to find some dark places. When you're not living right, you don't want the light of truth shining on you. And in John 3 and verse 19, and this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, that's Jesus, the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. Why? For their works were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light and comes not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. I don't want to come to Jesus who has the truth. Why? Because I want to keep living my evil life, and I don't want to be reproved. I don't want to be convicted. I don't want to be told that I'm wrong. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be manifest, that they have been wrought in God. Do we want something? Do we want a life that is approved of God, that God wants us to engage in? Or do we want to hang out in the darkness and engage in evil and do what the devil wants? So because of that, the truth is condemning. People don't like the truth. Sometimes people will tell me, why don't you just preach the truth and leave everybody alone? That's a very common statement that is made to preachers sometimes. Why don't you just preach the truth and leave everybody alone? Well, do you realize, friends, that that is impossible to do? If you are preaching the truth of God's word, eventually you're going to get to aspects of the truth that condemn people for their sins. And so it's a part of preaching the truth that sin is condemned. Jesus didn't leave everybody alone. Look at what he did with the scribes and the Pharisees. Paul didn't leave everybody alone. Peter didn't leave everybody alone. When he preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, he told them to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. He didn't just leave them alone. Other Bible preachers, John the Baptist and Stephen and others, they didn't preach and just leave people alone, because preaching the truth involves condemning sinful behavior in hopes of getting that out of their lives. And I think about the day of Pentecost, the next chapter too, Luke records that they were pricked in their heart. The truth that is condemning pricks us in our heart. What had Peter said just before that? Well, by preaching the truth, he was condemning, and he said, God has made him Lord in Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Well, that was condemning. Now, when they heard this, what? All that Peter had preached up to the point of even condemning them, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the brethren, rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And that's when Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And so people that really want the truth, they're glad that they hear things, even if it's condemning in nature. Number 7, truth has a negative side that rebukes sinful behavior, as I've just mentioned. It's not always positive. When Paul told Timothy to preach the word, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, he was to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. People don't want the truth of God's word because it has a negative side to it. Today, it's all about you got to be positive, and you always have to commend everybody, and you always have to let anybody live any way they want. And you have to allow all kinds of pluralistic views. And you have to be broad-minded. And you have to constantly be changing. And it always has to come from within you. You add all of that up, friends, you have a disaster with regard to your personal life and your culture around you. And we see it slowly changing even in our own nation. We have to get back to the truth of God's word and don't trade it for a lie. And then last of all, truth has a high price. The proverb writer says, Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. We're going to have to make some commitments, and the truth has a price tag, but if you pay it, it will be such a great thing that you will get forgiveness of sins now and a home in heaven in eternity. Friends, never exchange the truth of God's word for a lie. Many people do it, but they do it to their own detriment. Instead, always hear the truth, accept the truth, stand up for the truth, and walk in the truth. John was so happy that he found those Christians who were walking in truth. 3 John verse 4. Friends, we make all kinds of trades and bargains and exchanges in life, but don't ever trade the truth for a lie. If I can help you to have that truth in your life, to have the gospel of truth that saves in your life, let's get together and study that. And let's make that a part of your life. Thank you for being with us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.